Hello, my name is Joel Barker. Welcome to this session, Deploying Operating Systems with System Center Configuration Manager 2007 Beta. This is the first of two parts on System Center Operating System Deployment. In this session, we're going to focus on the use of System Center Operating System Deployment. System Center Configuration Manager 2007 Beta, or SCCM 2007, is the successor to Microsoft Systems Management Server 2003. Microsoft has made extensive improvements in usability and capability in SCCM. In addition, SCCM has several advances in security built in. SCCM takes advantage of the new Windows Imaging Format, or WIM, image file format, and has a completely redesigned architecture built around the capabilities of WIM. We will see how network installation and boot to install is easier using SCCM with WIM images and WinPE. The administrator has detailed control over installations using task sequences. A task sequence runs the deployment and can contain state migration, conditional queries, and application installation steps. More image deployment can be automated than ever before in task sequences. As we go through today's session, you'll hear various Microsoft acronyms and terminology. While we will explain all new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or other versions of Microsoft products that we may not spend time on. So to assist you, we've listed out the areas that it may be helpful to be familiar with, either prior to this session or for you to reference afterwards. It will be helpful if you have deployed operating systems or maintained OS images in the past. SCCM eases a great deal of the burden that administrators experience using previous deployment tools, but builds on their procedures. We will not have time to go too deeply into the architecture and other uses of Systems Management Server, or SMS, so it will be helpful if you have used and understand SMS clients, sites, and server roles. We're going to view this session as three agenda items that will flow from one to the next. First, we will talk about how SCCM provides control over the OS for the enterprise. With an architecture that allows for granular control over deployment, SCCM will help us to get the right desktop image, applications, and configuration to the right hardware. Next, we will manage the deployment server, discussing the details of how to use the System Center Configuration Manager, MMC, to set up a deployment task sequence. This will also be an opportune time to talk about securing SCCM. Then we will create a task sequence and deploy an OS in a bare metal installation. SCCM OS deployment can be used with our existing desktops and servers, as well as with future operating systems. Deploying and managing operating systems has always been a logistical and budget challenge for the IT team. We want to lower the labor and increase the reliability of our deployments. For this session, we will follow a fictional company, Contoso, that has recently deployed the new System Center Configuration Manager. They want to initiate the use of OS deployment capabilities of SCCM. We're always looking for more efficient and more reliable OS strategies. Now, Contoso is planning Windows Vista and Windows Server 2008 rollouts while also seeking to maintain our current operating system investment. With the first release of SCCM, it will support Windows Vista, Windows XP Service Pack 2, Windows 2000 Professional, Windows Server 2003, and Windows 2000 Server. It can also support the special-purpose WinFLP for legacy PCs and Windows Embedded for Point of Service, or WEPOS. SCCM is ready to support x86 and 64-bit architectures, and it can be leveraged in six scenarios, which will be useful to Contoso. When new computers need to be rolled out or hardware is repurposed, we can use SCCM to automate a fresh install of a new operating system. We sometimes call this a bare metal install. We want to have a standard image with the drivers, applications, and settings that suit Contoso's needs. When upgrading an existing desktop system, we want to be able to transfer user settings and data so that the upgrade is lower impact on the user. SCCM can securely save and restore user state and settings. It's highly configurable even for migrations that involve massive amounts of PCs. User state and data can be stored locally or securely transferred to a network share during migration. If a Contoso user is issued a new computer, we can use the same technology as the upgrade to perform a side-by-side migration, moving user state and data to a new computer. We can also migrate installed applications in place to a new OS, replacing the old OS using an in-place migration. The previous scenarios can all be performed over the wire without inserting media into the local computer. This means that our deployment is lower touch and easier to control. For instance, if we change the standard image, we will not need to burn a bunch of new disks. However, there will be situations in remote offices that a network deployment is not possible or desirable. SCCM can prepare media that will install a custom Contoso OS image offline with removable media such as DVDs, CDs, or USB drives. This will not be our first choice, but we can get the same desktop image. It will simply require more effort on the part of our technicians. We will also not benefit from SCCM status reporting on offline deployments. Now, Pixie Boot, or Pre-Execution Environment, is a boot from Network Capability Industry Standard that utilizes TFTP and DHCP over a compatible network interface card. By using a Pixie Boot server, we can actually install or refresh an OS without sending a technician to the computer at all. We just need someone to boot up the computer and press F12. SCCM can integrate and work with the WDS Pixie server that's included in Windows Server 2008. We'll see more about Pixie booting in the second part of this session. The SCCM architecture for deployment is flexible and can expand as your company grows. When we kick off a deployment over the wire with SCCM, this is the process that occurs. The administrator creates two images. First, the boot image, which is based on Windows PE. Then, the operating system image, which contains the operating systems that will finally be installed on the client computers. The two images are then replicated to SCCM distribution points. Then the administrator needs to identify which computers will receive the image. He or she will either create or identify an SCCM collection of computers that will receive the image. An SCCM collection is a grouping of computers based on criteria such as current OS. Groups can contain subgroups and computers can be members of multiple collections. Then the administrator creates the task sequence for the deployment. We will see the task sequence in greater detail later in this session. Right now, the important concept is that task sequences provide the SCCM administrator the capability to perform a series of tasks on a client without user intervention. For instance, a typical task sequence on an OS upgrade would migrate the current user state to a network share, install the new operating system, install applications, and then restore the user state. It's a good idea to test new task sequences in a lab before a large-scale deployment. Once we've completed designing the task sequence, we can assign it to our SCCM collection. Now, the client running the SMS client software retrieves the task sequence from the management point and executes it. A management point, like the deployment point, is a site role that's assigned to an SCCM server within a site. The management point is the site system role that serves as the primary point of contact between SCCM clients and the SCCM site server. Every site with internet clients must have one default management point, though the default management point might be a cluster of several site systems configured as management points. Multiple site roles can be combined on a single site system, including running all site roles on the site server. But this is usually appropriate only for very small and simple environments that do not require a high level of security. The task sequence can include built-in actions, such as command line strings, and built-in actions from SCCM. They can also be assigned a condition so that the action is only performed if the client fits a certain criteria, such as OS version. When the task sequence calls for the boot and OS images, the client will retrieve them from the closest distribution point and then starts the installation. Throughout the task sequence, the client will update the nearest SCCM reporting point on its status. We will demonstrate SCCM on Contoso's network. The demonstrations in this session will all take place in the Contoso network using three computers. The first, SEADC01, is the domain controller. It's also providing certificate services, DHCP, and DNS. The second computer is the System Center server. It's running System Center, the Windows Deployment Services role, and Business Desktop Deployment 2007. The final computer is the workstation that we will use for deployment demos. It is PXE-capable and using DHCP. So let's open up this environment and look at SCCM. In this demonstration, we will confirm the prerequisites for an SCCM site are in place, both in the network infrastructure and on the site server itself. For this demonstration, we have installed all of the necessary features on our System Center Configuration Manager 2007 Beta, or SCCM, server. In a production environment, it's unlikely that we would want to use a single server SCCM deployment. Some software and infrastructure must be in place before we install SCCM. Internet Information Services, or IIS6, is required for any SCCM site that offers BITS-enabled deployment of software and operating systems. IIS is also needed for management points or server locator points. For optimal deployment of software packages and operating systems, utilize Background Intelligent Transfer Service, or BITS 2.0. BITS transfers files asynchronously between a client and a server. It's advantageous for SCCM because it provides concurrent foreground and background file transfers. These file transfers include uploads and downloads. BITS uses idle network bandwidth to complete the file transfers. For instance, BITS 2.0 is used to transfer files by the Automatic Update service, by Windows Update, and by other programs. BITS 2.0 includes support for file range download, support for the Server Message Block, or SMB, protocol, the ability to limit bandwidth usage, and concurrent foreground file transfers. SCCM software and operating system deployment involves the transfer of large files. BITS will make it faster and reduce the impact on the rest of your network. In addition, we've enabled WebDAV. Web Distributed Authoring and Versioning extends the HTTP 1.1 protocol to allow clients to publish, lock, and manage resources on the web. WebDAV is utilized by SCCM distribution points. SCCM, like SMS, uses a SQL Server database. The SCCM RC1 release is only supported on SQL Server 2005 Service Pack 2. We're using a local SQL database, but most organizations will want to separate the SQL Server from the System Center server. MMC 3.0 is also required on the computer that runs the SCCM Management Console. Microsoft Management Server 3.0 did not ship with Windows Server 2003, but it is included in Service Pack 2. It can also be downloaded from the Microsoft website for server and desktop computers. The goal of Microsoft Management Console is to provide a programming platform for creating and hosting applications that manage Microsoft Windows-based environments and to provide a simple, consistent, and integrated management user interface and administration model. Administrator computers must also run the Microsoft .NET Framework, version 2.0. SCCM is deeply integrated with Active Directory. All site servers must be members of a Windows 2000 or later Active Directory domain. With the installation of SCCM, you must also extend Active Directory. The schema extension program, extadsch.exe, must be run on the Schema Master Domain Controller by an administrator who is a member of the Schema Admin Security Group. It cannot be run via the Run As command. Extending the Active Directory schema is not required for installing Configuration Manager 2007. However, by extending the schema for Configuration Manager, you can more easily take advantage of all of Configuration Manager features. The Active Directory schema can be extended before or after running Configuration Manager 2007 setup, but it's recommended that you extend the schema before beginning Configuration Manager 2007 setup. When upgrading an SMS 2003 site that is publishing site information to Active Directory domain services, It's recommended that you upgrade the Active Directory Schema extensions for Configuration Manager 2007 before upgrading the site. Proceeding without upgrading the schema extensions will result in some Configuration Manager features being unavailable after installation. This will also add a requirement for the service location point for client installation and registration to succeed. When the schema extension has been completed, a log file is written to the root of C on the server specifying what changes have been made. Check this file to confirm that the schema extension was successful. While some Configuration Manager features are dependent on extending the schema, such as Network Access Protection in Configuration Manager and Global Roaming, there may be workarounds for not extending the schema to enable other Configuration Manager features. After creating the System Management Container, the primary site server's computer account must be granted full control to the System Management Container and all of its child objects in order to successfully publish information. You can grant the necessary permissions by using the Active Directory Users and Computers Administrative Tool or the ADSEdit MMC console. We will use the Active Directory Users and Computers MMC. View the system container by enabling advanced features. We'll grant the SCCM site server rights to publish data to Active Directory. Specify that we need to search Active Directory for computers. The SCA-SCM-01 computer, our first site server, needs to be granted rights to this container. SCCM uses Active Directory to publish a great deal of important data that clients need to locate. After we have given the server full control of the system container, the site server can create the system management container so that the SCCM server can update Active Directory with the latest information. We need to enable more advanced settings. Edit the settings for the SCCM server. Allow the server full control over not just this container, but over all child objects as well. We've already installed the SCCM server on this site. After installation, make sure that the components are functioning properly by viewing Site System Status. All of the site systems on our single server installation have a status of OK. Now, looking at the component status, we can see more specific information about the components. Let's look at the messages for the SMS Distribution Manager. The SMS component status is akin to the Windows event log. We can sort and filter just as we can in the event log. This event was created when the component manager started to install the distribution point. The site component manager successfully installed that component. Because of the distributed nature of SCCM, errors or problems are not readily apparent in the administrator console. Use the status manager to confirm that processes have completed and that components are running properly. So how do we manage the OS deployment features of SCCM? Looking more specifically at the user interface and tasks of SCCM, this section will introduce the deployment server. We will look at specific steps to take to secure the server, and then we'll look at the images used by SCCM deployment. SCCM includes several enhancements to security over its predecessor. In SMS 2003, you had the option of standard security or advanced security. Instead of the two tiers of security available in SMS 2003, SCCM has only one security mode, equivalent to the advanced security mode of SMS 2003. In SMS 2003, some sites could not comply with the advanced security requirements that all site systems belong to an Active Directory domain and use Microsoft SQL Server 2000 or later. Unlike SMS 2003, SCCM 2007 sites must belong to an Active Directory domain and use a version of Microsoft SQL Server 2000 or greater. The site servers must access the SQL Server using Windows authentication. The new SCCM client is a single, more secure client similar to the SMS 2003 Advanced client. Before upgrading to SCCM, you must remove all SMS legacy clients in the site hierarchy. Client deployment is also more secure. In SMS 2003, you had to configure a user account to perform client push installation. In Configuration Manager 2007, if you do not have a user account configured, Configuration Manager 2007 will try the site server computer account. If the computer account does not have administrative rights to the client computer, client push installation will fail. Simply use GROOT policy to assign restricted local administrator rights to the computer account. Network Access Protection, or NAP, is a policy enforcement platform built into the Microsoft Windows Vista and Windows Server 2008 operating systems that allows you to better protect network assets by enforcing compliance with system health requirements. You can configure DHCP enforcement, VPN enforcement, 802.1x enforcement, IPsec enforcement, or all four depending on your network needs. SCCM can integrate with Windows and NAP to allow you to restrict clients that do not have the software updates that you designate as required for communication. SCCM gives you a choice between two site modes, SCCM Native Mode and SCCM Mixed Mode. The most secure choice is Native Mode. Native Mode requires an existing public key infrastructure, or PKI, implementation, but provides mutual authentication between SCCM clients and servers. Native Mode will not utilize PKI, but will provide greater backwards compatibility. By deploying PKI, a great deal of security enhancements become available, preventing snooping during client-to-site communications as well as during site-to-site communications. In Configuration Manager 2007, the requirement for secure key exchange between sites is enabled by default as well. In Mixed Mode, approved clients can use self-signed certificates for certain policies. In Native Mode, PKI machine certificates will be used to validate clients and secure communication. Of particular interest to OS deployment is the encryption of client data during a migration. Although that was optional in SMS 2003, encryption of data in SCCM is now a requirement. The information is stored on a state migration point and is encrypted during transmission and storage. The information can only be retrieved by the new computer associated with the state information. By default, the server deletes the data one day after the new computer restores the state information. You can configure when the state migration point removes data marked for deletion. The state migration information is not stored in the site database. If you use boot media to deploy operating system images, you should always use the default option to password protect the boot media. The password encrypts any variables stored in the task sequence, but any information not stored in a variable might be vulnerable to disclosure. Let's see how SCCM is secured in the Contoso network. In this demonstration, we will configure some of the new security features in SCCM. We will deploy the specialized site server signing certificate that secures inter-site communication. This installation is still functioning in mixed mode, a less secure mode that does not utilize the PKI infrastructure. Before we can run in native mode, several certificates need to be installed. First, the Trusted Root Certification Authority, or CA, for the domain trust must be installed on the site. Because we're using a Microsoft Enterprise Root Certification Authority, the root certificate is automatically installed on computers in the forest using Active Directory domain services. If there are any intermediate certification authorities, we also need to install those certificates. IIS web server certificates, and if clustered, the web server certificates for network load balancing need to be in place. For secure communication, client computer certificates need to be deployed to clients and to the management point. If we manage mobile devices, we also need to implement certificates for mobile devices. Right now, we can create the site server signing certificate. First, we need a template that includes the correct policies. We will start with the CA Exchange certificate template and then modify it. Edit the application policies for the new template. We do not need the private key archival policy extension. Add document signing to the certificate template. To make sure that certificates are not impersonated, require certificate manager approval for the issuance of a certificate. We'll be able to approve the certificate using this CA Authority MMC. Now enable the template in the CA Authority. Once we have enabled it, the template will be available through the Certificate Authority web server. We're now ready to request and install the site server signing certificate. Open the default Certificate Authority web page. Request a certificate using the Advanced Certificate Request. We could perform this request offline, transmitting the request as a file. However, in this instance, it's convenient and secure to use the online request process. Click the certificate template that we just created. We must type, "The site code of this site server is SEA, exactly in the name of this certificate, or it will not function. The default for a new certificate is to place it in the logged in user's store. We want this certificate to be in the local computer's store. Now name the certificate Seattle Site Server. Accept the Internet Explorer warning about the potential scripting. Note our request ID. At this point, we will contact our CA Authority Administrator and request that they approve this request ID. On the Certificate Authority, view the pending requests. Issue the request ID that matches the site server request. Back on the SCCM server, in the Authority webpage, we can now install the approved certificate. The certificate request has been approved. We can install the certificate using the web server again. Once more, Internet Explorer issues a warning of the scripting violation. The use of a Microsoft PKI solution is recommended to support Configuration Manager 2007, but it's not required. Configuration Manager 2007 uses standard PKI certificates, supporting version 3 of the X509 certificate format. If your existing PKI deployment can create, deploy, and manage the certificates that Configuration Manager 2007 requires for native mode, you can use your existing PKI infrastructure. Consult your PKI documentation for deployment details. Of a central interest to administrators is the actual image file they will use to deploy the OS. SCCM uses the WIM image format for images. If you've had a chance to install Windows Server 2008 or Windows Vista, you've already used the WIM file format. Using SCCM, the WIM file format is now used to deploy other operating systems, such as Windows XP and Windows Server 2003. A WIM file is a compressed file that can be read and modified offline. An operating system packaged in the WIM format can be installed to a hard drive without losing other data on that drive. A single WIM file can contain multiple images without growing significantly, as it uses single-instant storage algorithms. New drivers or components can be added offline. In older imaging technologies, administrators who needed to make changes in their image had to load it onto a computer, alter it, and recreate the image, even if they just needed to add a network card driver. With an OS packaged in a WIM file, we can just mount the image using ImageX, browse to the driver's directory, and copy the new driver onto the image. That brings up another advantage of the WIM format. It's hardware agnostic. Companies that try to maintain a standard image are often challenged by the fact that they must maintain individual images for different hardware configurations. A WIM can be completely hardware neutral. Because it is a highly compressed image, WIMs make network deployment also more viable. The SCCM OS is a package containing a WIM file, but not the programs that we will later associate with the desktop installation. Images are deployed via task sequences. The administrator can create a custom desktop or standard server image, create a WIM containing it, and replicate it to the distribution points. Now, at this point, we can see the advantage of the WIM image format. When files need to be updated, the administrator can simply use ImageX to inject the file into the image without installing the image on a computer, adding the file, and recreating the package. Then the new image can be replicated to the distribution points. We also need another image, the boot image, which is a package containing Windows PE 2.0. WinPE is a small, bootable WIM format that we use to initiate the install. Once again, using the WIM format, we can inject all of the drivers that we need for our environment. We can use PE even when deploying an older OS. Our boot image is replicated to the distribution points as well as Pixie servers so that we can use our boot image on a network boot installation. Both images are loaded in the Configuration Manager database. So let's demonstrate how Contoso will use these image features for OS deployment. SCCM makes use of the WIM image format, allowing us to edit our operating system images offline. In this demonstration, we will modify and combine some images. Then we will use SCCM to capture a new image and add software and drivers to those images. One way to make deployment easier and more efficient is to merge image files. When you merge files using ImageX, it utilizes single instancing to save space. For example, our organization has two departments. These departments only need a slightly different configuration, so we can merge the image files so that we don't use up space by storing each image separately. To illustrate how this works, we'll modify one image by adding the marketing information document. Right now, the files Vista Image and Vista Image 2 are identical. When you have a WIM file to use for packages, you can map the contents of the image to a mount directory. After the contents are in the mount directory, you can perform common file operations such as copying, pasting, and editing without extracting or recreating the image. We need to create a folder where ImageX will mount the WIM files. We'll name the folder Mount. If you just enter the Mount command, ImageX will give you a list of files that are currently mounted. Presently, there aren't any images mounted. We want to mount the WIM file we already created, so we will use the mount RW command, which will mount the file with read-write permissions. We can also use the mount command, which will mount with read-only permissions. If you only wanted to view the contents of a file, you could mount with read-only permissions to avoid making any unwanted changes to the file. When using the mount RW command, 1 is the reference number of the specific volume in the WIM file, and C:\mount is the location of the mount directory. A message indicates the mount was successful. So now that we've mounted the image, we can view it using a file management tool. In this case, we'll use Windows Explorer so that we can navigate through the actual image file. ImageX is able to almost instantaneously mount contents of the WIM file into the mount directory, even with a full operating system image. You can then view all of the files and folders listed on the WIM image. Because we mounted the file with read-write access, we'll be able to edit the files. If we had mounted with read-only access, we could only view the files. Contoso decided that it needed to add the employee addendum to the image file. Instead of having to recapture the whole image, we can just copy the new file to the WIM file inside Windows Explorer. We're going to copy employee addendum to the mount folder. After we've made the changes to the WIM file, we can go back into ImageX and commit the changes. We're going to use the unmount and the commit commands together. ImageX will save the image, including the new document we just copied to it, and will remove the image from the mount folder. If you use the unmount command without the commit command, all of the changes you made will be lost. Don't mount an image in Windows PE because Windows PE reboots every 24 hours, and mounted images don't remain mounted during a reboot. If there are changes to a commit during a reboot, the changes will be lost. If you were to look in the mount folder again, you'll see that the WIM image contents are no longer listed. You can also view the information on the WIM image in ImageX. Now the file count includes the new file that was added. Next, we will export Vista Image 2 to the Windows Vista image. When you export one image into another, ImageX will take the two separate images and combine them into a single file. These files will be maintained as separate files, but will be stored in a single WIM file. When we view the XML data for our vistaimage.wim file, it will now display information for each image. This means that you can easily access information about the individual images, no matter how many images are in a single WIM file. Also, when we look at the total size of the combined WIM file compared to the individual sizes of the two images, the combined file is smaller than the individual files. By using both compression and single instancing, you can eliminate redundancy and greatly reduce the space a WIM file occupies. In addition, ImageX will still combine identical files even if they're differently named. This is because the files are hashed to match file to file. To capture base images of the custom operating systems for Contoso, we will create a CD that will capture a base install and deliver it to the SCCM system. An operating system deployment boot image is a Windows pre-installation environment 2.0 image. The boot images node displays a list of the operating system deployment boot images that have been created and inserted into the SCCM OSD system. They're then distributed to management points. More so than WSD, the SMS architecture can be massively scalable, providing central control and standardization to global deployments. place distribution servers close to the locations that they will be needed. Similar to WDS, OSD can capture a customized image specifically designed for our network with applications, drivers, and settings that we want our desktop and server machines to contain. We'll use the Task Sequence Media Wizard to create this as well as other bootable media that expand OSD features. After we've created an operating system or OS package, we can use this wizard to create standalone media to install our OS image on machines that cannot connect to an SMS distribution point. The bootable media option will create a WinPE CD or a USB drive that can be used to connect to the Config Manager infrastructure. If a computer does not have Pixie capabilities, we could use bootable media to connect to the infrastructure and still perform an over-the-wire installation, although it would be a slightly higher touch. First, we would need to create the capture media. Then, the capture media will create a WIM image of the reference computer. A reference computer must be a member of a work group, not a domain. The administrator password must be blank, and we need to have to have run sysprep on it. We need to choose a boot image to use to create the capture. The Windows PE source will be pulled from this image, and additional SMS tools will be added. Instead of booting to the capture media, the CD is run from within the operating system. The new Task Sequence tool will also enable a remote client to be used as a reference computer. Besides the other criteria, the reference computer needs to have the SMS client installed. We can create a software package from an MSI. We want to add the SMS client to all deployed operating systems. Since the client uses an MSI as an install source, we can add it to the SMS server as a definition file. In the Package Definition Wizard, locate the MSI or Package Definition file. SCCM ships with the SMS Advanced client available. The installation source can either be left in its current location or compressed and placed within the SMS source. We created the SMS source directory previously as a place to store and access the client. Now that we've created the package, we can add it to an operating system deployment task sequence. The package must then be sent to distribution points where clients can access it. Clients downloading software and especially large operating system packages have the potential to significantly increase network traffic. To distribute this load efficiently, we need to ensure that enough distribution points are available for the expected traffic. Audit your requirements before deploying an OS install. It will take a little bit of time for the software package to be delivered to the distribution point, depending on the network conditions. Although the new WIM installations are hardware independent, some hardware will still require specific drivers. We can collect all of the drivers that we need in SMS and package them with the appropriate installation media. The drivers, they must be collected from a network share that's available to the SMS console. We will add this modem driver. We could add several drivers at a time by placing them in the same share before running the wizard. SMS will automatically read the INF file and identify the manufacturer and model to which the driver applies. We can assign the driver to categories so that they're more easily located. Create a category called modem for this driver and all other modem drivers. Now we can bundle this driver with other drivers into a package. This package can be copied to a distribution point from which computers can access them. Drivers in the store are not applied to clients until they're packaged. When we create an image deployment, simply setting the auto-apply drivers and apply driver package actions in the task sequence will automatically push the appropriate drivers to computers as the operating system is deployed. Now that the package is complete, we need to push the package to distribution points. They're not usable by clients until they've been placed on distribution points. We can also add the drivers to boot images at this point. We can store multiple versions of device drivers, which is often necessary when a network is in the process of upgrading to a new driver or if the latest driver needs to be tested. Boot images may also require drivers for network interfaces or drives. They can be added in the same way. We can use the capture image that we created earlier to capture a model image and store it as a WIM. The computer that we are capturing has Windows Vista configured just as we wanted for Contoso workstations. It's not, however, a member of the domain. SCCM Capture cannot capture an image of a computer that is a member of a domain. We'll insert the capture disk we created. The disk will auto-run or function as a bootable CD. The capture program will automatically upload the image to the location of our choice. We're going to put the image in the WIM share on the SCCM site server. We need to provide appropriate credentials to write to that share. Here we can add some identifying information that will be embedded in the image. The capture image will now capture the operating system settings of this computer. We can use this in our task sequences. It will require a reboot. If the capture CD is still in the workstation drive, we may be prompted to boot from it. Do not do so. Instead, the computer will boot to a WinPE image that has been inserted onto the hard drive by the capture program. With the image prepared, we can create a task sequence and deploy the operating system. We only have a few more steps to perform before we can use the OS deployment feature pack. We need to create the task sequence for the deployment, associate it with the proper SCCM client collection, and then add application installation packages to the sequence. Task sequences are where we can perform extensive customization of OS deployment. Deployments in SCCM are launched by creating a task sequence and associating it with a client collection. Multiple task sequence steps are grouped together sequentially to perform multiple tasks on a client computer. These task sequences exist as nodes in the Configuration Manager console, and the task sequence nodes are replicated to child sites. You can also create subfolders to manage or group task sequences. However, these subfolders are not replicated to child sites. In addition to OS deployment, task sequences are used to capture an OS image or to perform customized tasks. Access control can be imposed on task sequences to prevent unauthorized access. Steps are the basic building blocks for task sequences, and they contain the commands that run on a target computer to perform the tasks. A task step has three elements. First, the condition is an optional test, such as for current OS version. If the test returns true, the step's action is executed. If false, the task sequence moves on to the next step. Conditions can test for a file, a software MSI GUID, or a registry setting, among other options. Second, the action is the actual work performed by the step. SCCM comes with a set of built-in actions. An administrator can create custom actions out of any command line statement, including running VB script. The third and last element of a step is a continue on error flag, stating whether the task sequence should continue or abort if there is an error during the step. Task sequence steps are processed sequentially as the conditions for each task is evaluated. The steps initiated if the task is applicable to the client. The next task sequence step will not proceed until the previous action is completed or evaluated as invalid. A task sequence is considered complete when all steps have been completed or when a failed step causes the task sequence to end prematurely. The task sequence can be completely hands-off for full automation of the process. A deployment task sequence is divided into three sets of steps: those prior to deploying the new OS, those during WinPE, and those in the new OS. In a typical OS upgrade sequence, the old OS steps will include a check of the computer's hardware or other criteria to confirm that it is ready for deployment and a saving of the user state and system settings. If we were performing a bare metal installation, we would have skipped those steps and started at this point with the steps performed when the computer reboots in WinPE. Here we will partition and format drives, deploy the OS image, and add device drivers. When the new OS image has been installed, the computer will reboot into that new OS. Then the last section of the task sequence will install the SCCM client, software updates, and any software application packages that are associated with the collection, and then restore the user state and settings. At the end of the process, when the task sequence is completed, the user will be presented with the login screen of a workstation that's ready to use. Note that the administrator will probably have to construct different task sequences for x86 and x64 architectures to make sure that the correct boot images, applications, and OS images are used. Using steps in a task sequence, Configuration Manager 2007 can install one or more software packages on a target computer after the new operating system is installed, before the user is first allowed to log in. The installation of each software package in the task sequence completes before the next software package is installed. Desktop users cannot log into a computer until all the software packages have been installed. Programs associated with each Configuration Manager 2007 package must run under the computer's system account and be configured to install automatically and silently without user interaction. These application packages are created and managed in the Packages node of SCCM. A package contains the application installation as well as the package definition file. Package definition files are predefined scripts that you can use to help automate package creation with Configuration Manager 2007. These are files that contain the package and program information needed to distribute a package to clients, with the exception of the source file location. Create packages for your Microsoft Office, antivirus, and line of business applications. After they've been installed through the task sequence, SCCM will help to manage, update, and patch these applications. So let's create a task sequence for the Contoso desktop image. In this demonstration, we'll enable the new user state migration tool on the SCCM server and make it available to clients. This also requires a state migration point, which we will enable. Then we'll build an install sequence and install it on a new computer. To use the new user state migration tool 3.01 in a task sequence, we once again utilize the software distribution features of SCCM. Create a new package using USMT. Previously, we installed USMT on the SCCM server. We also shared the program file directory to the network. All clients will be able to reach the share. For our demonstration in a single server model, this share will function. However, the software distribution packages should be highly available. Consider using DFS to assure that clients can reach any software distribution shares. On the data access page, we can specify where SCCM will store the package on distribution points. We will use the standard package share as configured. The sending priority is not the priority for a client, it's the priority for package distribution to another site. By default, branch distribution points will automatically download the package when an advertisement is received. If bandwidth is an issue, we could instead have the administrator manually copy the package. We could specify different management information format or MIF files. MIF files are standard format that contains computer management data. MIF extends the inventory and reporting capabilities of SCCM. The package is now created and ready to join a task sequence. Of course, we also need to add it to our distribution points. Bootable media and SCCM clients will utilize management points to locate the best possible distribution point based on the specifications that you create. We can now create a state migration point to store USMT data. We use this tab to specify the configuration of site systems. Even if we were not going to configure a state migration point, we would want to configure these options. The FQDN is necessary for native mode implementation using the PKI infrastructure. On the system role selection page, we can assign different roles to this site. We will just assign the state migration point right now. To configure the state migration point, first specify how and where this site will store client migration data. Add a directory. To save space and to protect sensitive data, we can configure the deletion policy. To be safe, we'll leave it on the default setting. User state data will stay on the server for 1 day after the migration is completed. In addition to the SCCM OSD interface is the task sequencer. The task sequencer allows the administrator to define complex processes. We will use this to create a new zero-touch installation. The SCCM operating system deployment is equipped to deploy not only the desktop OS, but also server OS. Here, we will prepare a beta of Server 2008 for deployment. SCCM OS deployment can capture, manage, and deploy Windows XP and Server 2003 as well as Windows Vista and Server 2008. The image was successfully imported into SMS. Our new image will not be available until we assign it to a distribution point. We can easily specify which distribution points will maintain this image. In our demonstration environment, there is only one SCCM server. However, the SCCM architecture is designed such that distribution points can be strategically located worldwide to maximize the use of bandwidth. For more information, refer to the SCCM documentation available on the TechNet website. We will use the task sequencer to create a new OS installation process. Once again, we need to identify the boot image to use. The boot image, not to be confused with the installation image, is the Windows PE-based OS which starts off the installation process, loading the install image and performing the other tasks of the installation phase of a task sequence. Select the boot image based on the hardware we're installing upon. Specify the installation media. The installation media has already been imported into SCCM. As we've already demonstrated, the installation media contains several different images. We'll create a task that installs the Enterprise Server Core, an installation that does not include the user interface. We can specify whether the installation will preserve existing data on the partition or will wipe the partition. Now we'll enter the product key and the type of server licensing we'll use. The task will also set the administrator password on the server. Next, the sequence will enable the new image to join either a workgroup or a domain. We will join the Contoso domain. Place the new Active Directory object into the computer's organizational unit, or OU. We need to enter an account that has permission to join the domain. Now we can add the SMS client package to our installation. In the Installation Properties field, enter the SMS site ID that the new client will connect to. For in-place operating system upgrades or side-by-side migrations, the System Center OSD has extensive user state migration capabilities. Using the Microsoft User State Migration Tool, or USMT, we can store user state either locally or on a network share, and then replace it on a new computer. With a well-designed desktop environment, this means that non-destructive OS refreshes can be triggered from the SMS console without the loss of user data or settings. Powerful user and machine state migration capabilities lower the cost of fixing, maintaining, and upgrading desktop computers. However, since we're dealing with a server operating system today, it's unlikely that we will need to migrate user state. We do want to make sure that the computer applies mandatory software updates, however. We can add software packages such as line of business applications. These applications can be packaged just as we packaged the SMS client earlier. Now, we'll create an advertisement for the task sequence, making it available to clients. We can make it available for a collection, either the collections that are built into SCCM or into custom collections that we created. In addition, we can make the advertisement available to a remote boot media or Pixie server, allowing us to prompt an installation on any network computer. Now, the schedule feature is helpful when we need to start a migration after business hours. We could only advertise the package after close of business and make the assignment mandatory. The computers would automatically run the task sequence. We can control the behavior of distribution points, such as when they download content locally and whether a client is allowed to use a remote distribution point. Depending on the topography of the network, remote distribution points could be connected by low bandwidth connections. So preventing clients from using them will prevent problems with slow installations and clogged networks. If there's a user logged on to the machine as the task sequence runs, we can allow some control. We can specify that the user has the ability to run the program as an optional package. After accepting the default security settings, we've completed the steps in the wizard. The bootable media boots to WinPE, a small network-capable version of Windows that can perform the installation tasks. WinPE can also be deployed over a network. We'll use WinPE and a Pixie server to perform over-the-wire installations in the second part of this two-part session. The custom boot media is specialized for the site it was created for. This will ensure that packages referenced by the task sequence are available to the task sequence. This wizard can create the capture image that we used earlier, a bootable media to access the SCCM infrastructure, or standalone media, which contains the complete installation package. Today, we will create bootable media that can connect to SCCM and download the image. Bootable media, while more demanding on a network, has the advantage of not requiring updates. If an image or sequence is changed in the OS deployment, it's not necessary to change the boot disk and reissue that disk to our installation team. We will create a boot CD. We can impose security to protect the media and ensure its integrity. Certificates deployed to the media will identify it as valid. Meanwhile, we can create a password to prevent unauthorized use of the disk. Select the appropriate boot image, once again based on the hardware that we'll be installing on. We have completed the wizard. SCCM will now create the media. It will take a couple of minutes to create the media. We've already created a boot disk, and we'll use that for the next step, starting an OS deployment. We just created an image that we made available via bootable media. Now we will use the bootable media to launch that task sequence. We do not have time to watch the entire boot process today, but the task sequence becomes available and executes from this point without any hands-on effort by the administrator. We started this session by looking at the larger picture and then zoomed into the details of SCCM OS deployment. As we look back on this session, recall that we covered the enhanced security features of SCCM. More settings, such as site-to-site communications, are secure by default. SCCM can also utilize PKI and NAP to tighten up your network security. Leveraging the WIM image format, SCCM has expanded OS deployment capabilities. We can more easily manage our images by editing them offline, and its compressed nature makes over-the-wire deployments more viable. Finally, the new SCCM task sequences can perform highly customizable steps before, during, and after an OS deployment. The administrator can use these steps to make desktop and server images more manageable, and do so with less hands-on technician time. To get more information about the products and technologies we've covered today, we have some online resources available that can help you. For the most comprehensive technical information about Microsoft products, visit the main TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/technet. Additionally, visit www.microsoft.com/technet/MGT-302 for more information about books, courses, certifications, and other community resources that relate directly to this particular session. There are a number of other resources that are available from Microsoft. The Microsoft Skills Assessment is a free online learning tool. It's an easy way for IT professionals to check their skills. You can quickly check your skills for implementing or managing Microsoft products or business solutions. You just take this short 30-question assessment and see how well you know your stuff. The Skills Assessment includes a personalized learning plan which has links to Microsoft official curriculum, specific TechNet articles, Microsoft Press books, and other Microsoft learning content. There's also a way to measure how well you did compared with others who took the same assessment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is an expanding learning platform. Available now are assessments for Windows Server 2003, including security and patch management, Exchange Server 2003, Windows Storage Server, Office 2003, and VisualStudio.net. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you differentiate yourself from the next candidate? The Microsoft Certification Program provides that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft Certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals and is a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. There are a number of accreditations available, starting with the basic Microsoft Certified Professional. You can choose to become a fully certified system administrator, or MCSA, or a systems engineer, MCSE, or a desktop specialist, MCDST. The new Microsoft Certified Technology Specialist, or MCTS, and Microsoft Certified IT Professional, the MCITP credentials, provide IT professionals with a simpler and more targeted framework to showcase their technical skills in addition to the skills that are required for specific job roles. For more information about the certification program, visit www.microsoft.com/learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently which you may find interesting. To help explain this further, here's Ian Brackenbury, TechNet Subscriptions Product Manager.
TechNet Plus is an essential, premium, web-enabled, and live support resource that provides IT professionals with fast and easy access to Microsoft experts, software, and technical information, enhancing IT productivity, control, and planning. With convenient access to all these resources in one online location, TechNet Plus provides you with what you need to help you evaluate products and learn new skills, plan for and deploy new technologies, and support and maintain your IT environment. For evaluation and learning, you get access to all Microsoft full-version software for evaluation without time limits. This includes Microsoft Server, client, and application software titles. With full-version software, you can make informed decisions about new technologies at your own pace. You also receive access to the latest betas before public release. Be the first to try out the latest pre-release versions of Microsoft operating systems, servers, and business applications. TechNet Plus also offers quarterly training resources, including select Microsoft e-learning courses for free, so you can keep your skills current, prepare for a certification exam, or get ready for a specific project. For planning and deployment, the TechNet Library includes resources to help you plan for and deploy new technologies in your IT environment, including a complete knowledge base, resource kits, utilities, and technical training. You also get exclusive tools like System Center Capacity Planner to accurately plan for and deploy Exchange Server and System Center Operations Manager. And to stay informed, your subscription also includes a free subscription to TechNet Magazine, the Microsoft Journal for IT professionals. For support and maintenance, TechNet Plus comes with two complimentary professional support incidents. You can talk to a Microsoft support professional to quickly resolve your mission-critical technical issues fast. TechNet Plus also provides access to over 100 managed news groups. You can exchange ideas with other professionals and get expert answers to your technical questions within the next business day, guaranteed. You also get access to TechNet Library resources to help you support and maintain your IT environment, including security updates and service packs. TechNet Plus offers proven value that far exceeds its cost. The two complimentary professional support incidents alone more than offset the cost of a TechNet Plus subscription. Add to that the evaluation software and beta software and other technical resources, and TechNet Plus clearly boosts productivity. Every IT professional on the team needs one. For more information or to purchase a TechNet Plus subscription, please visit technet.microsoft.com/subscriptions.